Spider-Man, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches seeds just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there, there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, welcome fame.
Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. Broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter DeRaglia. I am an Overstreet Price Guide advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And this week, Chris, we're very, very, can we use the word lucky?
Oh, extremely lucky.
Oh, okay. We're lucky to have on with us as a guest the esteemed Greg Hyland.
Greg Hyland.
Greg.
Greg, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine. I'm Greg.
Hooray!
Now, Greg Hyland, if you don't know, has done a lot of stuff. Greg, like, what are some of the stuff you've done?
Oh, the stuff I've done? I've done a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so, well, first of all, you're a creator of Lethargic Lad.
Yes.
That goes a little bit. I don't want to show your age, Greg, but when did the first Lethargic Lad
Full printed one came out in 1991.
Woo!
But I started it as a photocopied mini-comic in 1988.
I remember that.
This is the 30th yeah. anniversary.
And I'm not joking when I say I remember that. I do right. remember that, yeah.
30th anniversary
yeah,
of Lethargic
30th
Lad.
30th anniversary of Lethargic Lad.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So you're old.
I need to come up with another idea.
I think you're part of the reason you're on the show.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. So, and your other idea, which we'll get to more in the show later on, is the Monster Atlas.
I have a book called The Monster Atlas that I've illustrated and co-written, and I've written it with Glenn Kay.
Glenn Kay has been on the show before.
Yes, he has.
When he had his book about zombies, he was his compendium to all things zombie movies, all that kind of stuff. So we had him on the show years
the
ago.
The Ultimate Guide.
I remember when he was on, we had his old man's, we played some Danny Kay.
That's right.
He loved it. He loved it.
Glenn loves Danny Kay.
He loved Danny Kay. Glenn Kay, Danny Kay, they go together two Ks.
Like two Ks.
They have the same last names. I just realized that.
Yeah, that's weird, eh?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, funny.
You know what? This kid is quick.
He is quick.
So we're going to talk about the Monster Atlas a little bit later. Now, you got a Kickstarter going on for Monster Atlas
right now. Yes.
But, Greg, I almost called him Glenn.
Yeah.
We'll
he's not here.
Later.
Yeah. Greg, first thing we do, I don't know if you've ever listened to the show. Why would you, first of all?
Well, we have to talk about New This Week.
That's right. We have to talk about New This Week. And New This Week is always brought to you by a sponsor. And I don't know if you know this, Chris, or not, but Greg bought all the sponsorship for this
show. It's good. Yeah. It's good. Donated a little bit, too, but, you know.
Well, he gets one community. Spot for free, but the other ones he has to pay
That's
for.
Right, yeah. First one's always free.
So New This Week is brought to you by the Monster Manual.
Yeah, though I decided to advertise that the old Dungeons & Dragons book would be promoted rather than my book.
I'm sorry, I said that wrong. The Monster Atlas.
Monster Atlas.
The Monster Atlas. It's brought to you by the Monster Atlas. Jump onto Kickstarter and have
Search
a look.
Monster Atlas. That's
Search
the easiest
Monster
way to get
Atlas.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah. And hey, don't just look at it. Donate.
Buy it.
Well, that's what you do when you donate.
You don't really donate. You're not donating money. You're buying something.
How do I know how
works? That's economics.
Of what?
Life.
Okay.
Business. You do own a business, right?
Chris, let's move on because the show, we got a lot to talk about. We've got Greg Hyland here. We have no time for jibba jabba.
All right, listen.
What do you have new this week?
All right, first up, we've got Tony Stark Iron Man. Now, this is the new, hold on, let me see here what I got here. This is the new new book with, has four different covers. Adi Granov, Alex Ross, David Aja, and James Herron with a connecting cover as well. But you know what? It's something more than that. What am I talking about here? It's got a blank variant, and then this has got
all kinds of stuff. That's hardly a cover, it's though, a blank cover. Variant.
Yeah, I know, it's true. Yeah, that's very true here. But
I can do a blank variant.
Well, you know, Tony Stark Iron Man, this is now hot off the heels of Brian Michael Bendis's old Iron Man book, because
mm-hmm.
Now he's going to work for that other company. And you know what I say? Good riddance.
Yeah,
to him.
That's right. Good I know riddance. You and I'm not a, you not and a Mr. fan. Bendis.
Yeah, not a fan. But you know what? This is going to hopefully be a good book here. It's you know, I don't want to give too much away.
Don't give it away.
No, but this is I don't know. It's a good looking book.
It's a good looking book. You know what I like about this book? It's a good looking book. And what's it called again?
Tony Stark Iron Man.
Tony Stark Iron Man number one.
No, I was going to say, this is the one by Dan Slott. So Dan Slott is finally coming off of Amazing Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to be writing Iron Man.
Right.
So if you are a Dan Slott fan.
Right. Who isn't?
Well, you know, I liked a lot of his books. Uh-huh. I remember he did an Arkham Asylum one that I really enjoyed, where he created all kinds of new characters. And Dan Slott was on Spider-Man for, like, what, 10 years or something like that?
Chris, you and I don't know, Greg, I mean, you read comics too. You and I were talking at the last show about how cool it is. The weight of a character, the measure of a character, can often be seen in the gallery of villains that character has. So Batman and Spider-Man have the best villains in comics, and they're the best characters in comics. Iron Man, Iron Man's villains, Mandarin,
Titanium Man.
Yeah, if Titanium Man is your second. You're in some doo-doo.
Well, yeah, you're right. But you know what?
Anybody else? Like
the Crimson Dynamo.
The Whip Guy.
Whiplash. Yeah, Whiplash.
I take it all back.
All kinds.
I take it all back.
Yeah, you're way off.
Yeah, right.
You're way off. You know, I was wrong. You know, I did a quick Google here, and there's like 26 different covers for this. So
My goodness.
Good luck getting them all. But anyways, yeah, that's Iron Man, Tony Stark Iron Man number one.
Now, Greg. Greg, yes. You're obviously a very, very celebrated and well-known Lego artist.
Oh, yeah.
You've done a lot of work for Lego.
I have.
You've done a lot of, I think you've done some cartooning on the cartoon. Can I say cartooning? Is that the right word? Drawing?
Drawing?
On like Lego Batman on their merchandising things.
Yeah, I did comics. I did Lego Batman comics and that appeared in the sets.
Right. Now, did you ever in all this craze of variant covers ever get approached to draw like a variant Lego, or is it Lego like a franchise that doesn't want to themselves?
No, they did them, and annoyingly they used CG images rather
than. That's
not
right.
Yeah, it is not right. Oh. I would have loved to have done that, but
right.
Yeah, no. And the marketing department there is like in love with things that are computer generated, and they don't like things that are hand done, so
right.
Well,
they're boring.
If they don't like things that are hand done, then they can't really love themselves, can they?
They cannot.
They cannot.
And they do not. That's why they're so.
Are they so wishy washy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, Iron Man something or other number one
is out on your newsstand.
Is out at your local comic book shop today. So check that out, please.
Next up,
what else we got, Chris?
We've got Batman number 49. Now this is this is closing in on Batman number 50, which is going to be the big wedding issue.
I'm very excited about that wedding issue.
There's a bazillion different variants for that ones.
Uh-huh.
Now I got a beef here. You got a bit of a problem here.
Go ahead.
So you know there are a lot of
where's the beef.
So it used to be that you could buy all the regular variants at your store.
Right. Right.
So four or five variants come out, whatever. If you wanted
at
to buy
at your local comic
at
book
your
shop.
Local comic book shop.
Right.
Then they started doing this thing where, you know, well, now the retailers can actually, if they buy 1,000 of them, they can get their own cover.
Their own cover, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, now they're taking it one step further, and each individual artist can do their own cover. So you got, you know, Joe Majura doing his cover, and he's selling it on his website. And you got Frank Cho doing his cover, and he's selling it on his website. And you got Art Adams.
Oh, so I can't order them? They just go right to them?
No, you got to order it from the website. And some of them are already sold out.
What the heck?
It's not even out yet.
That's not right.
I know.
I call foul.
This is the thing. I'm mad and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Red card.
I guess I have to, but you know.
So this isn't right.
I know. Well, this is
so there's going to end up being literally 94 covers.
Well, there could be as many as they want, because as long as those individual artists now.
So Greg, when's your cover for this coming up?
Yeah, it's one day.
One day.
One day.
All right, one day. So, okay.
So, but here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
You're supposed to say here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Thank you.
All right. So, that went well.
Frank Cho is doing three covers. So now, if you want all three covers from Frank Cho,
uh-huh,
you have to buy three books. And if you want two from Joe Majura and two from somebody else, and so it's not just like you're even buying one special cover, because you got to get the interconnecting covers.
Oh, if I had to pick one artist, I would go with Funky Joe Madeira. Just because I wanted to sing that.
Oh, I see. All right.
So what's this book called again?
Batman number 50. Well, the one 49 today.
49. Which, so number 50 is when they're actually getting married.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Okay. Anyway, 50 looks great. 49 looks great, rather. So go out and support your local company.
I remember when Archie got married.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh. A great comic shop out in Edmonton, Happy Harbor. Yeah,
I've been there.
Yeah, with Jay. You know Jay?
Yeah, I know Jay.
He had the best marketing thing ever. He hired actors to come into his store to get married. Archie and Betty.
So are you doing that for your store with Batman and Catwoman?
Let me tell the story.
Sorry.
So he ordered like 1,000 copies, and he had local media come, and they covered it and everything like that. And I think he said he sold like 800 of them that day. It was
nice.
Ridiculous. It was fantastic. Of course, I'm not doing it, because then I'd be copying him.
Yeah. What good would that be? And why would you want to do something good?
Yeah, why would I want to do something good?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, I guess... I don't even know if my point is, I guess, is I don't even know if the excitement is here as much as for the Archie or even for the Spider-Man, because this is like, you know, another, it's almost gimmicky on the Batman thing. Batman is the one guy that shouldn't be married.
Right.
What's Robin going to do?
Go play by himself?
I guess so.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Chris.
Anyway, you know what? I don't even want to talk about any of the books.
Listen,
we
have Greg here. We got a lot of stuff to cover. So there are a ton of books hitting your new this week stand at your local comic book shop. So we encourage everybody to run in and check out the new this week.
All right, let's have a quick musical interlude. We're going to do an all Krantz Spider-Man.
I ain't complaining.
You know what I'm doing? I'm just going to hit stop and start and stop and start. So where it ends, it ends. And if it's in the middle of a song, I don't care. I'm just in that mood today.
I like your style. Right. I like your style, kid.
All right, here we go. A little bit more Krantz.
It's a great big day. Wherever there's a hang, you'll find a Spider-Man.
Oh, fantastic stuff, Chris. Hey, listen, that brings us to industry news. And industry news, the whole show is brought to you by Greg Hyland's and Danny Kay's Monster Atlas.
Glenn Kay.
Sorry.
Monster Atlas.
I said Monster Atlas.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to just dive into this. Let's dive into it again.
Yeah, let's dive right into it. Okay. It's on Kickstarter. You go on Kickstarter and you type in Monster Atlas and it'll come up. Right, Greg?
It does.
Okay, so okay. Greg... So, sorry, did you want to interrupt me again?
I was just gonna go. Never mind.
Greg.
Yes, sir.
Can you describe for us what the Monster Atlas is all about?
The Monster Atlas is an actual atlas that shows you where monsters are.
So, okay, so what do you mean? What do you mean, like an atlas of what, like Mars?
The atlas is the volume that we're promoting right now is North and South America.
Okay,
so we've got monsters that are from more North and South America, and we're doing stuff from like movies and TV, but we're also doing legends and folklore, and we're also doing like cryptids, like Bigfoot. And
so like Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Like a legend like Bigfoot would be somewhere probably in like Alaska or BC.
We have him in California, although they say that there's been Sasquatch sightings in every state in the United States. But we put him in California because that's where the famous film was made.
Yeah.
North California.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So, okay, now would you're going to have, like, I don't know, Dracula in this map?
No, not in the... Well, when we do a... Hopefully, if this goes well, we'll be doing more. And if we do a European version...
Oh, because he's from Transylvania.
He's from Transylvania. So, that's right. And the book, in the book also, he's also in London, so we would...
Okay.
Did you do the Count?
No, we didn't.
Because he's from Sesame Street.
No, he's from Hilaria. Oh, yeah. We do have Cookie Monster.
Oh,
I didn't want to do too many Muppets.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
So you get this atlas.
Yeah.
And now, are they all urban legends, or you said there's some from movies?
We have some. Yeah, we have movies, TV. We have urban legend stuff. So like.
So, like, for example, I flipped through and I saw that what's that monster from the big Venus flytrap thing from
Stranger Things?
No, from what? No.
Oh, from
the musical.
Yeah. From
Feed Me Seymour.
Yeah. You know, from Little Shop of Horrors.
Right.
We do have that in there.
Okay.
And so. We have the Demogorgon from Stranger Things as well.
Ah, okay, cool.
So so it's all illustrated. We have maps that show where they are.
Yeah.
Like where they live
originated,
or whatever.
Yeah, where they originated. Were born.
And then we have write-ups about each monster and an illustration by me.
So how many are you trying to cover in this book?
We are looking at probably over 300.
Woo!
Now, did you ever find that some of them were like, oh, man, you know, like, I don't know, Idaho has got nothing. Like
some, there were a couple states where we had nothing.
Right.
And what we did, I shouldn't say this, but we made up the monster.
Oh,
and I'm not going to tell you which ones.
Okay, well, that's fair.
We did.
That's
fair. Because I actually had somebody go looking at the preview copy of the book, and they looked at one of the ones we made up, and they went, I've never heard of that. That's cool.
Oh.
And they kept going. And then also, I was at Art Crawl in Hamilton a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And,
was okay.
Yeah, and I mentioned one of the ones that we made up, that also my daughter made up.
Oh, nice.
That's
nice.
In Hamilton.
Nice.
And somebody looked at it and went, oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
My
daughter was there, too, and we both kind of smiled. And that's what we want,
is for people
to go. Perfect. So I'm not going to say which ones are made up.
Nice. Cool.
That's fantastic. So how the heck did the brainchild for this come from? How did this start?
I originally wanted, I just wanted to do a map. I've always been fascinated by maps.
Oh, that's cool.
And monsters.
Yeah.
So I thought about doing a map.
Yeah. They go together, really, don't
they? Yeah.
Because I had seen an image of a map of Japan, and it had the various, like, Godzilla monsters on it.
And I was like, that's
cool. And I thought it would be cool to do, originally, was a world map was my idea, and just put it out. And I realized once I started researching it that there's so much out there that if I did a map, like a poster size map, every image would be so microscopically small.
Right.
And I could, you know, if I want to put information on there, I thought a book is the way to go.
Yeah.
And I had just finished doing, I did the Munchkin Zombies Artist Edition game,
where I
spent a few months just drawing zombies, and it was really cool. And when it was done, I was like, I just want to draw more monsters.
Cool.
And this was a way, and I thought, I'm going to seriously start working on this.
Cool.
That's fantastic.
Now, do you include things, like, you know how you go around different cities, and, you know how you see, like, the giant nickel, but then in some cities you have, like, the giant deer or the giant grizzly bear. Like, are those included, or are those just two? Those are just, like, stupid tourist things nobody cares about.
They're
like the giant beaver.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like,
your old hometown.
Although there is where Mothman was seen in a small town in West Virginia.
Okay, but
there is a statue.
Okay.
The city has put up a statue of Mothman there. So that, you know, and we have Mothman in the book.
Wow, I like that. So, each page is devoted to a character. And then the character's origins are explored.
I'd like to call it Monster.
A Monster. I'm sorry. I always get it wrong.
Well, so, you know.
We got a write-up about it
and where they're from and stuff. Now, I mean, this is a fantastic idea. I mean, you know this. I think this is a fantastic idea. Is there anything else like you're planning? You got the book. The book's coming out. I know it's going to be fantastic, and I know people are going to love it. Now, first of all, hold on. I got to ask you, how is the Kickstarter going? Is it going okay?
The Kickstarter, we still have 2 weeks to go. Uh-huh. It ends July 1st.
Right.
And...
Is it successful?
We've been funded.
Okay, good. Well, that's the first step.
Yeah, right? So it's coming out. We reached our first stretch goal, which is including artwork by Gerhardt.
Oh, nice.
And he's done 8 pages that are going to be full-page illustrations that are pretty amazing.
Cool. Well,
that's awesome.
And
that's
the fantastic. Second stretch goal is a full-page image by Paul Pelletier, who has drawn Aquaman and Guardians of the Galaxy and Green Lantern. He's going to do a piece. And then our third stretch goal is to have John Kovalik, who does Munchkin Games Dork Tower. He's going to contribute at least 6 illustrations.
Cool.
And we're going to put out a little card set of his stuff.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here for a second. And I don't mean to do this, but I want to ask you, traditionally in Kickstarters, there are various tiers.
Yes.
Okay, so do you know what these tiers are off the bat, off the top of your head? Or I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
Can't remember what the prices are.
I'm a contributor.
Yeah, so are a contributor.
I know one of them is $45.
Yep.
And that's for the physical copy of the book.
That you have to pick up.
Right.
I'm going to just drive around, throw them out the window, you got to be there.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That's right. Yeah, bring one of those big nets.
Yeah. We're hoping to have it done for Fan Expo, so that's one place where...
Which is the Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
Now, the $80 tier, I believe it was it $80 or $100?
I think there's an $80, and putting out maps.
You get putting out maps, and then there's another $120 tier that you can...
And we're doing prints as well. Prints, so we're doing prints for, 8.5 by 11 prints... That are also going to be recolored by John Kalas,
right?
Who works DC on various DC books.
And then I noticed that I think there's a $200 tier.
Yep.
That you get original artwork.
Yeah, all my original artwork can go.
Okay.
Because what am I going to do with it? No, but it's
That's
and
awesome.
So a few people have picked up the original art.
Cool. Now, do you get to choose which monster they want?
Because it's not going as fast as I had hoped, I'm going to let people pick what they want.
Okay. Right.
So
first come, first serve basis. So if you want a piece, you got to.
I've been putting out a Monster Day image on my Twitter feed, which is @lethargic_lad.
Right.
I've been doing a Monster Day since April 1st. So you could go back and look at them and say, oh, I want, the Demo Gorgon.
Right. Or Bigfoot or whatever.
Now, you've done a couple of local. You did NiagaraCon, which is a bigger show and stuff like that. How have you gauged the response, the public response to this idea and stuff?
Response is really good because we made a preview book, which is about half the size of what the final book will be like. And when people see it, they go, I want this.
Right,
And they go through it and they're like, they love it. The problem with Kickstarter is you don't get the book. Like, you're pre-ordering
it,
you have to be on a computer. We actually had one person at Niagara Falls who had the Kickstarter app on their phone, and they bought one right there.
Right.
And that was awesome.
Yeah.
But I've realized the problem is people are like, I want this now.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I could have sold many copies of the preview book.
So, is your...
Patience, young Skywalker. I know.
That's why I want it out for Fan Expo.
Right, yeah.
Because I think I can move a lot.
So, is your plan to have a successful Kickstarter and then... have an extra, 100 copies printed.
Yes.
Or whatever it's going to be. I don't I don't know the printing world, so.
I'll keep going. I'll get more made and I'll go to other conventions and I'll have this forever.
Nice.
Well, I think, Greg, honestly, I think it's a project that should springboard. I think the Kickstarter and that initial printing of it will open more doors for you for this project.
I would really like
such a promising project.
A larger publisher to take it over and get it worldwide.
So you don't have to deal with that anymore.
You can deal with the art
and the...
I spent a year working on this, trying to get a publisher, and it was difficult, and we had publishers who were very interested, and then at the last minute they said no.
Now,
I figured Kickstarter was the way to go.
Is it because it's just such an odd thing to have that, like, you know, they don't know what to expect from it?
I think so. I think also what we're planning to do is so large,
right?
And we want to do it in color because the color images are looking nice,
right? Right.
And it's going to be an expensive book to produce,
right?
I think that's one of the things that is making publishers sort of like, we don't want that, you know. And they are also looking at the amount of work that we've done, and I think to fairly pay us for that work, they would go, yeah, we don't want to rip these guys off.
Whereas, yeah.
Well, fair. I'm sure they would rip you off if they could.
I hope so.
But are you doing anything in terms of online? Are you producing like a website for this?
I haven't had time to really make a website yet. What I've been doing is I've been putting out an image a day.
Through your Twitter.
Through Twitter, uh-huh. And the Lethargic Lad Facebook page. I've got an Instagram, which I think is monster_atlas_monster_a_day, which because Monster Atlas was already taken.
I got that, Chris.
Taken.
Did you get that?
I got that too.
Atlas was gone already, and Monster Day was gone already. So
right.
That's
really?
Why I got that. And then also we're up on Pinterest, which I don't know why.
What about like Tumblr and Instagram and all those things?
Instagram has the annoying address.
Yeah.
So that's what I've got so far. If someone wants to make me a website.
Yeah.
You know what you got to do?
That's what you got to do.
You got to approach a local school and see if anybody is interested in helping you with said
they
website.
They are. Yeah, those people will do it. They're crazy. Yeah.
Oh, you mean like a local,
like
a college.
Like a college, like Mohawk or something like that.
I've heard of them.
Well, you know, it's I happen to know them fairly well. Well, fairly well, but you know, right. Whatever.
Hey, he's the professor of something. Is he a presser?
He's a presser.
What I meant is he's the professor of Mohawk College.
Professor of pressing.
Yes.
Professor
Bench
of presser.
Yeah.
We still got 2 weeks, full 2 weeks.
Yep.
In your head, what did you say you're at right now?
We're 17 at, million?
Yeah, I wish. 3,400.
3,400. What would you be... I don't want to say like, you know, over the moon. What would you happy with? You'd be like, what would you be like satisfied? Like, yep, I'm good with that.
If we got past 10,000, when we started this, I found another similar book. Like it was another atlas of monsters, but the person had made up all the monsters.
Nowhere near as good.
They had 35. They're like, oh, we're going to have 35. But they were at like $23,000.
What the hell?
That's awesome. So,
yeah.
And yeah, people were kind of like, we think you could do really well on this. So
yeah.
I'm a little disappointed.
Right.
But there's still 2 weeks
still
to go.
But you know what? Show yeah. Time. As you know, we were talking before the show, and I got to get it out there a little bit more with, this kind of show and that kind of thing, and hopefully it will take off.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You know he's desperate, Chris, when he booked time on comic culture.
Right? It's like, do you remember when the funeral home on WKRP booked time?
Fairman's
funeral.
I remember.
Red Wiggler's the Cadillac of Worms.
Right on. Hey, listen, we're going to keep talking to Greg the show. We'll take a musical interlude right now and then continue. And Greg, we're going to involve you with some industry news. We want your opinion on what's going on in the world of comics.
I don't know.
All right, let's continue on with the All Spider-Man Krantz episode here. As I said, I'm just hitting play on whatever happens to come around, and here we go. Thank you.
behind you, said the spider to the fly.
All right, Chris, that was fantastic. I mean, that's gold. I mean, that is good
that's
stuff.
Awesome.
Hey, listen, Comic Culture Part Deux is brought to you by Greg Hyland and help me with the name.
The Monster Atlas.
No, I know it's the Monster Atlas, but who's your co-star?
Glenn Kay.
Yeah. Glenn.
He's not here.
But he's not here right now.
I know, but you know what I mean.
Hey, man, Glenn's not here now.
Hey, Glenn's not here. I just got his name wrong last time.
Glenn,
I didn't want to.
You know Glenn.
I know, but I forgot his name.
He's been our, you know, we haven't heard from him lately, but probably my fault.
Yeah, ever since the show.
Well, yeah.
You put
but,
two and two together, Chris, and you
no,
figure stuff out.
He used to be our intrepid reporter from, you know, the far
Hollywood.
East, from Hollywood, yeah.
That's right, far
but,
west.
Far west, rather, right. Yeah. And, but I blew that one, so.
All right, yeah, you blew it all right. Chris, let's talk about some stuff. So you sent me Greg Hyland writes. Greg Hyland
yes,
writes. He
yes.
writes
yes.
and he draws.
Yes.
He's one of those which you might call
comic artists.
Entrepreneurs, as Archie Bunker used to say. He does it all.
He
right?
does, it's true.
So you sent me an email of this award called the Finga Award.
Hold on. It's the Bill Finger Award.
Oh, the Bill Finger Award.
It's not just the Finger Award.
Oh, I got it all wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Bill Finger,
of course, wrote Batman.
Right.
Bob Kane drew Batman.
So Bill Finger came up with many of the ideas that were actually used by Bob Kane,
mm-hmm.
quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote a lot of the stories, uncredited for years. And so now what they've come up with is a Bill Finger Award for writing and drawing comics who basically... who weren't properly credited back in the day.
So this is an award given out by San Diego Comic-Con International. It's given out during the Eisners.
Correct.
And it basically is given out for writing.
Right.
Right. So who are the inductees this year?
So,
who won the Finga?
So the Finga was given to...
Who got the Finga?
Joy Hummel Murchison Kelly.
She got the Finga.
She got the Finga. She was 20 years old in 1944, and she began working for Dr. William Moulton Marston on Wonder Woman.
He's the guy that created Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and basically she had recently graduated, was looking for a job. So
said, yeah, I'll do this.
Yeah, so she...
Does it pay?
Soon she was writing scripts, working in Marston's office, and she appeared in three separate different publications, Wonder Woman, Sensation Comics, and Comic Cavalcade.
All three of them carrying Wonder Woman stories.
Yep, and mm-hmm. all under the house byline of only by Charles Moulton.
So she didn't even get the credit for it.
No, nothing.
So, never got a dinner,
yep,
Greg.
And her work appeared
never
until...
Never got a dinner.
So her work appeared until 1947.
Which is when Marsden
basically stopped.
Stopped, yeah. Because
yep.
he, yeah.
So
didn't
for,
he die?
So for 3 years.
Yeah, he died.
Yep. And basically now her husband, sorry, let's see, the Ms. Kelly and her husband Jack will be traveling to Comic-Con so that she may...
Oh, so she's actually picking it up?
She's still alive.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And she'll be picking up her own award and her first ever visit to Comic-Con.
That is fantastic.
Wouldn't that be awesome? I would love to be there for that.
Yeah,
you know,
that is
I would love
fantastic.
To see that happen. Yeah, that's great. So two people were actually inducted.
Uh-huh.
Then we also have Dorothy... I mean, I might say
from
this...
From Wizard of Oz?
No, this is Dorothy... I'm going to say this wrong probably, but it's going to say Dorothy Rubicek Woolfolk. From she was alive from 1913 until 2000. And she served as a writer and editor from 1942 to 1944 at All American Publications, now, of course, DC.
Uh-huh.
But then we later worked again for Timely, EC, and then much later, even in the 70s, returning to comic book editing for Wonder Woman, Young Romance, and Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so she occasionally did scripts, but you know what? Never really got her first award or anything like that, so...
So these writers never basically got their due back in the day because they were female writers.
Well, just hold on. I got to tell you one more thing. This is
I'm
important.
Sorry.
This
I'm
is
sorry.
Important. Yeah, just hold
I'm
on.
Sorry. I jumped ahead.
That's okay. Yeah. So it's important because she wrote for many superhero and adventure comics and is often credited with adding the element of kryptonite to the Superman mythos.
Oh, fantastic.
So that's enormous. That's huge.
Huge.
Right? So that's why I wanted to kind of cut you off there and talk to you about
so
that.
So it's great that they're getting the award. Now, Greg, I want to ask you. You do both. You write, you draw. What's harder?
For me, writing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it's just because you okay, you wake up in the morning, you're all groggy, you have a coffee, if you don't drink coffee, whatever you have, and you have like a blank page in front of you. And you, is it because you have to write before you draw? Because, or do you?
Yeah.
So it's hard coming up with something original, but once you've written it, you can draw
it?
Yeah,
I can draw it, yeah.
Right.
So I would.
But you never start with a drawing first? Like, you never start with a concept first and then write for it?
I don't.
No?
No.
So you always write it, verbalize it, context it, and then draw it.
Now, yeah. when you write, do you write, like, do you put every last, like, do you write with, like, you know, at a typical word processor and, you know, you actually write, you know, panel 3 or panel 2, or do you just kind of, like, scribble it out first and say, okay, he says this here, he says this here, and kind of...
Yeah, that's how I do. I do, like, a thumbnail of every
thumbnail.
Page.
Thumbnail. Actually, I have not...
When I'm writing my own... When I'm doing my own comics, I do that. So in a way, I guess I do draw it out, and then say what's written. And then because I do my own lettering, that's when I might rewrite something or tighten it up based on the space. So
you kind of, it seems to me like you almost do your own version of the Marvel method, right? You kind of like have the idea, kind of script it out on your own, but then go back and fill in the words afterwards.
Maybe. I mean, I know what points I want to hit per page.
Right.
So
right.
I've got that figured out, and I'm just figuring out the, what the page will look like. And
now,
but isn't it, sorry.
So go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, so go ahead.
I mean, when you go to Artist Alley, when you go to a con, Greg.
Yeah.
I mean, who goes to the writers? Unless you're Bendis or whoever.
Yeah.
Who goes to the writers? Like, well, what kind of writer? Like, the con isn't conducive to a writer. Well, like, you know, our good friend Ed Brissom, who wrote, great writer, and wrote a lot for comics. He goes to a con and sits beside, I don't know, Francis Manifold, you know, their buddies, they know each other. You know, Francis is going to be busy all day. Who goes to a writer at a con? It's almost like that.
It depends on who the writer is. Like, you know.
Okay, but I'm talking about, you have to be stellar to get people drawn to you at a con if you're a writer.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
For the most part, I agree, yeah.
So that's a tough gig, writing, is my point. It's a very low glamour.
I think that once...
It's true.
From what I've seen and been told, that writing's harder to get into as for comics, but once you've kind of established yourself, it's much easier to stay there.
I see.
I could be wrong. What have you heard, Greg? What have you realized for yourself, even?
I don't know.
Well, I guess you do everything on your own, right?
I do everything on my own. I mean, I have...
But you've edited for comic companies, and you've done all that stuff before.
Yeah.
So, you know, have you ever looked at somebody's, edit or written word and been like, nope, and then send it back?
No, but I've read stuff that I'm like, this is garbage, but it gets done anyway.
There you go.
But then he emails him back saying, wow,
this is great work.
Continue on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a thankless job, and it's great that the Finga Award is honoring these writers. And kudos to Joy Hummel Murchison Kelly
and Dorothy Rubicek Woolfolk.
All right. Awesome. All right. What else do we want to talk about? We got a couple of things we want to talk about here. Do you want to talk about Comcast? You want to weigh in, Greg, on Comcast?
Oh, of course.
Yes. Yeah, so Comcast has outbid Disney for Fox assets now.
So Comcast submitted a bid for $65 billion.
Cash.
And that's now
a lot of cash.
That's now topping Disney's bid of $52 million in stock.
Billion, sorry, in
stock.
Stock.
So, you know, it's okay. I'm going to read what it says here. It says, the move was made in the wake of Tuesday ruling against the Department of Justice, which had sued to block the AT&T acquisition of Time Warner. The judge heartily rejecting the government's arguments, Comcast felt it freed much of the regulatory risk in a similar manner.
The distribution buying content deal.
Right.
Which is what Comcast is. But you know what's lost in this is we haven't been talking much about AT&T buying Time Warner.
No.
Right?
Not at all.
Which is the same as Comcast buying Fox.
Right.
It's basically a structured infrastructure company that has networks and has cable and it has internet platforms and it has, it's like the infrastructure that these content travels up, right? That is distributed through AT&T and Comcast. Each of them are going out to buy companies that have content. So they're called a vertical integration. So you're not buying a competitor.
No.
You're not buying a provider buying a provider.
No.
It's a provider buying content for the stuff, you know, for
their own thing.
For their own thing, right? And so it's pretty well the same. But I want to ask you, Greg, as a comic book fan and aficionado, don't you want Marvel to get Fox?
No. I don't know. I don't really care.
I mean, come on. If Marvel gets Fox, then the FF
could be in that movies.
That's my point.
In that case, that's the point. I was seeing Marvel and The Simpsons, so I don't care.
Oh, but, no. I meant as a consumer
but
as
yes.
a consumer of like movies and pop culture. Don't you want the X-Men to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and FF? And,
yep. Yes. You know? Yes, I do.
Okay, see? There you go. I'm on the same page.
But you know who doesn't care about that?
Who?
Anybody who's not us,
who's not a nerd, right?
The judge isn't going to care about that. So, what I don't know is whether or not, because the deal has tentatively closed already with Disney and Fox, right? They accepted the offer.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if
no, they can renege. It'll cost Fox $1.5 billion to break this. Yeah.
So they would have.
But if they're getting $10 billion more,
what do they care?
Well, you know, they just give $1.5 billion of it to Marvel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do they care? But I don't know. I for one really want Fox to go to Disney.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't go to Disney, I'm just hoping that then Comcast can cannibalize and say, hey. You know, we've bought this whole thing. Hey, Marvel, if you want these two properties, you know, give us a couple bill or something like that.
Yeah, because Comcast could do that. They could, like, you know, divide it all up and then sell it off to the highest bidder.
I think that's great. But I don't know about it. The AT&T thing is the one that kind of
because they bought Time Warner.
They bought Time Warner. And you and I were talking about last week about the Looney Tunes coming back.
Right, hey, right.
Are you a fan of Looney Tunes?
Not so much anymore.
But of the old Looney Tunes.
Of the old ones, yeah.
The 1950s ones.
Yes.
40s, 50s.
What did it for you? You don't like Space Jam?
Yeah, Space Jam killed it.
Okay, who's your favorite Looney Tunes guys? Chris and I went over.
Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck.
So the Bugs and Daffy.
The classics.
Yeah. Well, they're all classics.
They
Foghorn really... Leghorn's a classic. Sylvester and Tweety's a classic. Roadrunner and Coyote are classics. Ralph and Sam are classics. Come on.
Yeah. I want them to bring back Speedy Gonzales.
And Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Because that would be...
Yeah.
The racial stereotypes would be fantastic.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, they...
I don't even know if they're allowed to do, like, an exaggerated ethnic accent anymore on these days.
Probably not.
Right.
Yeah. We all know how that turned out, eh, Walt?
Yeah. So, my favorite line ever from Speedy Gonzales is when Speedy comes in and he goes... Something about his cousins coming to visit him. He goes, oh, my cousin's coming from Mexico, Slowpoke Rodriguez. And the other mouse goes, oh, you better tell him to watch out for Putty Cat. And Speedy goes, oh, that's okay. Slowpoke, he pack a gun.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
Listen, on that note, let's have a quick musical interlude. All right. Hold on. I'm going to get back to the old Krantz station here. Hold on a second. And here we go, some more whatever's on the air here.
Funny, every time I cover this area, my spider sense tingles. But there's not a sign of Red Dog, nor even a stray cat, for that matter. Maybe this long, sleepless night has put my spider sense out of whack. I'd better get some shut-eye. But first, I think I'll check in at the Daily Bugle.
Hey.
Yeah.
What's so good about this?
I mean, no.
It's just a picture of a robot. But, Mr. Jameson...
Chris got so involved there, he didn't want
to... I forgot. Sorry.
All right, listen, the last part of Industry News is brought to you by the Monster Atlas with Greg Hyland and...
Glenn
K.
There you go.
Glenn K. I got that through. I almost got it right on.
You'll get it by the end of the show.
You get it by the end of the show.
This is really a great rehearsal.
Thank you. It really is, isn't it?
You'll get it right on the real one.
Now, Greg, I went. I participated in the website you go to for the
Kickstarter.
Kickstarter, thank you. I went to Kickstarter and I participated in retailer.
Yes,
you have a retailer option.
We do have a retailer option.
Local comic book shops can jump on there and grab a bunch for the shops, because I think that something like that would be pretty cool.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think something like that would sell.
It should.
Yeah. Now at Fan Expo. That you're going to attend.
Yes.
You plan on having a mountain of them at your thing.
I would like, yes.
Now, this is what I recommend. I don't know. I mean, you don't have to take my advice, Greg. Heaven forbid. Chris never takes your advice.
No, I don't. That's true.
But you should have actors dressed up as at least 80 or 90 of those monsters and be in behind your booth.
Yeah, I want to get a Sasquatch.
80 or 90.
Yeah.
80 or 90. Not all 300.
Huge booths at FanExpo.
Yeah, they're really good about that.
Yeah.
Not all 300.
Okay, so hold on. So I'm going to cut you off right there.
Okay, that's just my idea. I'm just trying to help the man out.
A great idea.
I'm writing it down.
No, okay, so listen. I want to talk about the biggest tier that you have.
Yes.
Okay, because we didn't really.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. Nobody's gone for it
yet either.
They only have five available.
Yes.
So the biggest tier available is for $300 or more, if you choose to, you can create your own monster.
Whoa!
So you will receive a soft cover copy of the Monster Atlas, including which has more than 250 full pages of color and 300 monsters. This is going to cover the entire Western Hemisphere, featuring monsters from North and South America. It includes 20 maps of monster locations. It also includes the PDF copy, plus 4 exclusive Monster Atlas monster prints, 15 large 11 by 7. You get 15 maps?
Yep.
That's huge.
It is.
You get 15 11 by 17 maps, and a page of original monster artwork, plus... You can now submit your own idea of an original monster and have it included in the Monster Atlas.
We'll put it in and we'll make it... We won't draw any attention to it.
No.
So it'll be in there. Only you will know and we will know. And then it'll be in there and then someone else will go, oh yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, that is
fantastic. We'll put it where you live and then you'll get the art that I draw.
I got a good idea for one.
Okay.
Get
your checkbook out.
Footy Big.
Okay.
Do you like that?
I like that.
Okay.
I don't get it.
You're an idiot.
Okay. All right. Listen, guys. Let's talk about a little bit of good news. I mean, not that. Wait a minute. That's a bad segue.
Wow. That's thanks, a bad segue.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Greg. Thanks for all the bad news about your Monster Atlas with Glenn K. Let's talk about comic sales in May.
That's good news.
I don't know, Greg. You never listen to the show. Why would you? But this show champions the local comic book shop.
Mm.
Brought to you by CFMU.
Here on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station.
Thanks to us.
It really is.
And we champion the local comic book shop, and we have good news in the sense that May 2018 saw some heavy comic book sales at your local comic book shop. Sales were up, which is always fantastic. In our industry, which was over the last few years, saw some shrinking markets. Marvel just annihilated the competition. They had 42.6% of the sales. DC had 25.7% as second place. But it's the Amazing Spider-Man number 800.
Chris, that's the clear winner.
411,000 copies
were
ordered.
Crazy. I haven't seen numbers like that in a long time.
$10 comic, my friend.
Yeah.
US.
$10 each. Times 411,000 copies.
That's like over $50,000-$60,000 easy.
At least.
I was going to buy a copy of that, but I only have $9.
See?
You're out.
That's how hard it is.
$10. That's $9 US.
$10 US. That's like 70.
You're way off.
I need to do a bit better on Kickstarter.
Yeah. You need at least another $5.
At least. Venom.
But then we got Venom, which is number two, at 225,000 copies.
That's a lot of copies. Yeah. And that's a $5 comic.
So those two books alone equal more than...
everything else.
635,000,
yep.
Which pretty much annihilates almost everything. Almost everything. It's pretty close, but it's annihilates almost everything else.
Right, DC actually has a lot of comics in there. They have Batman 46 and 47, which is the lead up to the wedding.
Doomsday Clock.
Doomsday Clock. They have Justice League. They have Man of Steel.
Yeah.
So anyway, nice to see Walking Dead still in there at top 10.
I don't know. I don't understand why. I think I'm so bored with that comic.
Have you watched, Greg? Are you a Walking Dead fan? Did you watch it?
I do.
Yeah.
Although I'm way behind on it.
Did you read the comics?
I do both, and I'm way behind on both. I have probably two trade paperbacks that I need to read.
Right.
And I've got probably most of the last season to still watch.
I stopped watching the last season.
Yeah.
It's boring to me now.
Yeah, but just because it's boring to you doesn't mean it's boring to somebody else.
No, I speak for everybody.
Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, I forgot, Chris.
Right? Okay, fine. Maybe I don't, but I'm just saying, I didn't like it. All right?
Okay, so I think, though, from a comic shop perspective, it's really nice to see something non-superhero-y.
I agree.
You know,
agree.
Cracking the top 10. Something non-Marvel and DC cracking the top 10.
Right.
This is a nice, you know, kind of an indication of health in terms of, you know, just comic book sales in general.
So Man of Steel, number one, and Justice League No Justice, number one, did very well as well. So those, but you know, Man of Steel, I think they were thinking that this would be a big new book. Because wasn't that the Brian Michael Bendis new Superman book?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
So, oh, poor Brian Michael Bendis.
Now, Chris, would you stop?
Oh, what a shame.
It still had 79.
He's not ruining other people's companies.
Still had 79,000 books ordered.
Yeah,
and maybe they didn't have stupid one in a million variants where comic shops had to buy, you know, a million copies to get the one variant. Well, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, look at our sales. It's $1 trillion.
Well, whatever.
You know?
Yeah, but that's what I'm going to say about that. Whatever.
You know what they should do?
It's no Monster Atlas. Let me tell you that.
Well, you know what they should do? Like, you know how Monster Atlas, if a comic book shop will order so many copies,
right.
We get to write our own villain into the story.
I think that's a great idea.
Something like that, right? Mine would be the Owen.
I don't know if I like this idea.
I'll extrapolate more next show as I have time to explore my new creation.
No,
and flesh out all the
explore away
details. But no, it's great to see from a comic shop perspective. I have a comic shop, and the show supports comic shops. It's nice to see, you know, what was an eroding trend.
Right.
Nice to see it reversed.
Yep.
Now, you know, I mean, obviously there were some massive kind of launch books happening that month.
Okay, so hold on.
The trick will be how these things carry through, right?
So we had Marvel at 42%, DC at 25%, Image at 10%, almost
11%,
mm-hmm. IDW at 3%, just over 3%, Dark Horse just over 2%, Boom at almost 2%, and then Dynamite at almost 2% as
now,
well.
Now, Greg had a boom story for us at the beginning of the show. Oh. Greg?
What's your boom story?
What's your boom?
I did a book for Boom.
You did a book
for
Boom?
Well, I didn't. I drew a Munchkin story in their Munchkin comic.
Oh.
And
how long ago was this?
It was about a year and a bit ago.
And was it a pleasant experience?
It was not a pleasant... Well, it was... No, because... They were like, oh, we want you to write, you know, do you want to write and draw and color the story? And I said, well, I don't want to write it, but I'll draw it. And at first, I said I'd color it. And then their deadline was so stupid that I was like, I can't do it. And then I was like, maybe I'll color it. How much does that pay? And they said, oh, coloring it costs the same as just penciling and inking it.
So why would anybody ever do that?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, for integrity of their work. That's
right.
Why.
Yeah. Oh, I see, right.
So I didn't color the story.
Ah.
Now, did it get published?
It got published.
Did it get published in color?
It did get published
in color. So somebody added the color?
Probably somebody who has Photoshop on their computer who works in the office.
Yeah. Right.
Now, were you happy, Greg, with the coloring?
No.
Ah.
No, I was. It was really dark, and it was not what I would have done. And
right.
Anyway,
right. Yeah.
They also gave me notes on what to do. They told me that characters that are speaking should have their mouths opened.
Is that right? Is that like a rule in cartooning?
I it's their rule.
Nobody ever told Dick Tracy that.
Yeah, and they gave me revisions to do. Really? And basically what I did was I didn't do them. I held on to them for about 2 days and sent back the exact same pages. And they're like, yeah, that's great.
This is much better.
Yeah, so there's my insider tip, kids, that don't do the revision. Just send them the same thing.
And if you're working for Boom, don't color.
Don't color.
No, you get the same money.
You get the same money. Yeah. That's right.
You won't like the coloring they did, but for the work that you did, you'll be happy with the paycheck.
So would you ever do it again, though?
Not at the rates they pay.
Really poor rates?
Oh, like, yeah.
So that's tough business, eh, Greg? Like, they just say, hey, you want to work, this is what you get.
This is what you're getting, and if you don't want to do it, there's somebody else
that
will do it, and that's basically it.
Now, I don't know, so I'm asking, is the Munchkins, was that like an ongoing title?
I think it was an ongoing title, because there was talk.
And you only did one episode?
I did a backup story, because I did the Munchkin Zombies Artist Edition, and the month that it came out, they wanted to have a comic by the person that did the Artist Edition come out the same month, so they did that, and so that's why I did that, so that it would come out.
Kind of coincide.
Yeah, coincide. Right. And then there was kind of talk about, like, maybe we'll get you to do the regular comic. And I didn't really continue. Plus, whoever is drawing it right now is doing a really good job. And
it's not John Kovalik?
No, it's not. And based on what they pay, I'm amazed that they do as good a job as they do.
Okay, let me ask you something. As a creator, as an artist, but also as a fan, if one of the big two approached you, who would you like to draw on a monthly basis? What title? If you could.
What title?
Or what character? What universe? What world?
I don't know. If I could do something cartoony, because I don't think I could draw like serious superheroes.
So you don't want to do a Batman or something, but what out there that's not yours would you like to work on? What do you enjoy? What do you like?
If I could draw cartoony stuff, I would like to, say, work for Marvel and bring back Not Brand Ack. Which I keep hearing there's revivals of it and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you'd like to caricature
That'd be, and that's kind of like roughly what Lethargic Lad is. So continuing that way.
Right.
I mean, or it would be kind of fun if I could draw something really cartoony, although it would be an action story. Like if I could do like a Rocket Raccoon and Groot story would be, because you've got leeway with the art, and I think that would be fun.
I'd have Rocket Raccoon would be great.
Yeah.
I'd have a great theme song.
Well, yeah?
With Rocket Raccoon.
You're dead to me.
All right. Hey, listen, on that brilliant note, we have to end the show, Greg. I mean, thanks so much.
Yes, thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Right. Comic Culture, produced and engineered by Chris Owen. We thank Greg Hyland for being here. We're at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. Thanks to us. And we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. Please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.